Hi. We've had a day, haven't we? Put your headphones on.
That was so like, yeah, whatever. Yes, we have, Sam.
We've had a day.
I know.
I mean, because we're getting ready for the holiday, so we've been shooting, recording a couple episodes.
This
I'm tired.
Is so boring. I know. Yeah, you're tired.
I have a baby too, so oh, I mean, our listeners don't want to hear about.
Yes, Sam, tell us what it's like.
I don't want to get into it because I feel like everyone is annoyed with my baby at this point, and I need to stop posting about it on Instagram, and I need to just.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
No, it's not that.
But you know what? Go ahead.
Well, you know, you should not be here, and you should be like taking your amazing wife out to dinner.
I want to explain to the listeners right now that Anna is lying on her back, looking straight up at the ceiling.
I'm really hoping you will go away.
I'm going to go away at some point, but not without talking to you about Bill Hader's episode.
I know. There's a lot here.
Here's what happened. So we thought we were doing a good thing by bringing Nicholas back, but I feel like we've just completely screwed things up even more. I'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
We've never received this much feedback ever, and I thought, because we didn't even get that much feedback after Bobby Lee's advice to Nicholas was make yourself successful so she'll like you because of that. I mean, that was essentially what his advice was. That was completely the wrong advice. And
I thought that Bobby was saying, like, become, like,
no, who that was
exactly
reductive. That was incredibly reductive.
Who you want
reductive.
To be.
Yes.
And then, sort of like your happiness will come. All right, go on.
But Nicholas wants. He's into this girl. He wants to ask her out. He wants to be with her. He wants to at least get to know her. And I feel like here's what was happening.
We railroaded
Bill. And then we got skewered. We got skewered online.
Well.
But Bill said that in order for Nicholas to really understand what's happening with the situation, he should become friends first. And that was, all the feedback we received was that Bill was 100% correct and that he should try to become friends first. And I said, you know, well I just wanted them to get to know each other a little bit and then ask her out. Or I said ask her out first, but you said, you know, write a diary, which had that.
Listen,
a joke. And I knew that was a joke, but some people took that literally.
Because I really like Nicholas and I hope that he, I want to, you know, that I was telling you earlier that I want to
get him back. By the way, everyone is invested in his relationship at this point.
Fly him out to Los Angeles and set him up with
somebody.
Let's do
that.
But the thing that I can't, we always try to protect our callers because they're coming to us with a vulnerable position, you know, from me, you know, and we also don't know the whole story. We don't know who they are.
We don't know if she has a boyfriend.
Exactly. No. But that's all valid, right? Like, that we don't know her story. The thing that's when I talk to callers, I just try to protect them. So what I would have, you know, in what I would have liked to have said to Nicholas, but I don't. Oh God, and I hope that he's
listening. So you might as well talk to him,
Nicholas. I love you. I wanted to talk to you again for a reason. I did, but the thing is that. We get a lot of, you know, female callers that wonder why so-and-so doesn't like them or like how do I get this person to like me? And male callers too, because that is the fundamental question. But what resonated with Nicholas a little, I think, was how he phrased everything, which was, I have a problem and I have a crush on this girl and my best friend also likes her. And so do I let him win? And even earlier when we were talking about this, Sam, you said like, if we do explore this more, like, is that going to ruin his game? Like the terminology of winning and game and how we view, and there's nothing, I don't mean to pass judgment on it's the different framework. Most women, I feel like, are socialized to look at it not in that framework. So we have Nicholas, who's sweet and amazing and wonderful and kind, but raised in the framework that a lot of men are. And same thing with you. That's why I called you out a little bit. Not called you out, because I don't think there's a correct or incorrect linguistical framework
right.
on this.
I understand.
But using those terms, it's so complicated. So when I give like stupid fucking ridiculous things, like when I say like write a diary.
Right.
Because truthfully, what I really feel is like, if you're starting a friendship with somebody and what you really want is to fuck them or be with them, I shouldn't be so crude, but fuck them.
Well, that's part of it, right?
yeah. Then isn't there a deceptiveness in that as well?
I want to read you something, okay? Our friend Skylar Samuels, one of our favorite guests.
She's amazing.
She's lovely.
I love Skylar.
So she's
Did
been a fan of the show.
Down? I know. Listen,
for a while.
Oh, I feel nervous.
So she actually sent me a direct message on Instagram, and she wrote to me, "Love the episode with Bill Hader today. So funny and soulful. I really enjoyed the debate about Nicholas asking out that girl. I went so far as to submit advice through the website. I'm a very invested listener after all, LOL.
I love you, Skylar.
Hope all is well. Sending big love to you, Anna, and Amy." So I couldn't find her email. And I said, elaborate on more what she was talking about. She said, "It was such a fun one to listen to because everyone had really valid points. It was fun for me to reflect because I'm so much closer to Nicholas's age. And even the last 5 years from 19 to 24, my approach to dating and how I want to be approached by men has totally changed. Now I'm much more in your camp." She's talking about me, Sim, my camp, about if you like someone, just be bold and ask them out, or you might lose out on the opportunity. At Nicholas's age, however, I was much more in Bill Hader's camp of keep it friendly and see what happens. Copying my email below for your unqualified advice musings. So she wrote, "One thing I know for sure is that pack mentality definitely prevails at this point in our early 20s. So I say, lean into that and invite her/her and her friend to join him and his friends to do something social so everyone feels most comfortable. The more comfortable Nicholas and this girl are, the more they will be able to enjoy themselves and be open to new experiences, including one another. Nicholas mentioned that they've hung out in groups before, so that part should be easy since it's not the first time. And to Bill's point, I think it's good to come at things friendly and see where it goes from there, especially if Nicholas doesn't know her too well. I don't think he is automatically friend-zoned because he doesn't ask her on a date right away. Even if he's in a social setting with her, he can feel out the vibe between them. And if it feels like it's going well, he can ease into flirting and make a move if it feels right. And if it doesn't, that's okay too, because there are no expectations of anything needing to happen since it's not a formal date. That's why I love this podcast. So fun to listen and reflect about how certain advice and perspectives change with age. So intellectually and emotionally engaging. I love it." And she goes on to say she's moving back to LA, so she wants to hang out with us.
Oh, Skylar, I love you, and thank you so much for writing, and for caring and writing.
I know.
Skylar also sent me flowers for my birthday.
I love her. She's the greatest.
I know. And I love it that she brings up the point of age. We're just like, yeah, we've been there, and it's easy for us to pass judgment.
Right.
And certainly easy for me at times, you know, I guess all the time. But being in your early 20s, it's hard when you are crushing on someone from afar and you've romanticized that idea of whomever that person is. The problem is, there's a lot of fucking problems.
Okay. I like Sophia Bush a lot.
You like Bush a lot? Sim, do you like Bush or do you not like Bush? Like, what would your preference be? Are you, like, all waxed off? Or a little bit? A little landing strip? A little, like...
Whatever my wife prefers.
Oh, God.
And now here's Sophia Bush.
I think that it's like perception of progression. It feels patronizing in the sense that it's like, here's a bone of hope.
Right.
And...
Well, it's the same thing that people say, we're a year into Me Too, taking the public stage the way it has, obviously, you know, started over 10 years ago by Tarana Burke, but the last year's been big. And people are like, well, your business is totally different. And I'm like, is it?
Right.
No, it's not.
Right.
It's not that different. Like a couple bad dudes got called out for being bad dudes. What else is different?
Right. I know.
Yeah, the illusion of progression. That's interesting.
But I will say, I mean, I work on a show with 5 women, and we're not spring chickens, and that is always astounding to me. I feel so grateful for that. It's like we're on a network, you know, and we've talked a bit about this a while ago on the podcast, but I always felt like the actresses couldn't get to know each other very well because we didn't work together very frequently. And if we did, we were pitted against each other.
Right.
It's like girl next door versus like a hottie slut or whatever the fuck our labels were or whatever. I was just pretty much doofus.
Disagree. Actually, I came carrying a message, and Caitlin knows I live with my best friend Jenny, and she, I mean, we all love you, but like Jenny loves you on a level. I was like, are you sure you don't want to come? She was like, no, it's awkward. Oh. It's weird. I don't want to come. And she was like, just
Jenny,
tell.
I love you.
She literally goes like, just tell Anna she is the single greatest physical comedic actress of our time. Just tell her.
God.
Just make sure she knows.
Jenny, I love you. I can't wait to meet you.
Let's invite her to a show.
I would love that.
Oh, we'll come for sure. We actually had like a bit of a dissertation making coffee this morning on your performances. Like we went back to Scary Movie. We were talking about how the House Bunny is so fucking iconic.
Oh,
and like you should win all the awards for it. Like we had a moment. So yeah.
I have a Stony.
Yeah, you do. What is that?
It's my only award. It's from High Times magazine.
Oh, hey girl.
Yeah, I won Best Actress, which is it's a Stony and it's a bong.
Oh, I was like, is it a giant pot leaf? No, it's a working bong.
It's a working
bong.
That's
the only award you can actually do anything with other than hide it in a closet.
Well, I do feel like I've always told Alice and Jenny that she could take one of her many Emmys and like really jab somebody in the ribs if she had like a home evasion. Like it would be like.
Oh, those things are weapons for sure.
Yeah.
They're really heavy.
But the whole, I don't know. Thank you.
Not that I've won one. I've just held other people's and they're very heavy.
Sophia, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so
it
happy
is so
to be
kind.
Here.
All right, so you and Sim have something in common.
We do?
Yeah. It rhymes with Rogan.
Oh, God.
Does it rhyme? Okay, that's not a good example.
No, it does. It really does it.
What is it? What do we have? The only thing I can think of is slogan, so I'm clearly
slogan.
Is it a slogan? Are we both super political or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is maybe a stupid thing to launch off with.
We both went to USC.
Oh, Trojan. God.
Trojan, yeah.
Got it.
And Anna and I teach there now, too.
Wait,
we teach a podcasting class. Actually, we have class right after this.
Wait, can I come?
Please, anytime.
I mean,
oh my
I can't
God,
go tonight. I'm going to be phone banging.
Tuesdays.
Can I actually come
to
your
Tuesday
class?
Tuesday evening, yeah. Of course.
Okay. Yes, if you felt like it, that would be amazing.
No, I want to come hang out all the time. I miss college
We have
so
4
much.
Kappas in our class.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what that means anymore. Honestly.
I don't know what it means
either.
Do you have any allegiance? My fraternity got kicked off.
I don't have any allegiance to any of that shit. Listen, at the end of the day, I went from a school... My graduating class was 55. So I got to a massive university and like needed some kind of structure. And truly my smartest and most accomplished older friend, when I was a freshman, she was a senior, this incredible girl named Jennifer Halfordy, who was like one of those people like in the movie.
From
she's
Pasadena?
The girl. Yes.
I know Jen Halfordy.
Okay.
Wait, did you went to school with her?
Oh
yeah.
My God.
So
she went to, well, cause I know, well, we know her boyfriend, Larry, her old boyfriend, Larry.
Yeah.
Larry, yeah.
Totally.
Larry's a buddy
well,
of mine.
So here's the thing. So we
my
both grew
from
up
in Pasadena as well, by the way.
So we both grew up in Pasadena and so did your wife. So there's 3 of us. In addition to the tens of thousands of other people. And she was like, she's that girl in the movie where like she walks by and there's like a ding off of like her eyeball and like the wind is always blowing her hair and like she looks like she walked out of like a Brett campaign in the 80s, you know? She's so beautiful and cool.
But Sophia, you are the same fucking way.
Kind.
You have like this inner light combined with your beauty that makes you even more fucking beautiful. I don't always want to focus on like Anyway, whatever. I'm like, whatever. I'm fucking going on.
No, but
I'll pick your brain.
My story is long story longer. Thank you for the compliment. They're very hard for me to take, but I'm also attempting to be an adult and say thank you instead of do the thing from like the Amy Schumer skit and be like, oh, I got this. Like, no, I'm disgusting. I'm really trying not to perpetuate that girl on girl hate and self-hate thing. So thank you for the love. I appreciate you. And to make my inanely long story longer, she was like, you know, going to law school. She was this like just badass girl who I looked up to. And she was in the Greek system. And she was like, it isn't what you think.
Yeah.
Like, our house has an insanely high GPA, like a cool social schedule. You'll at least have a little structure so you won't be flailing. And like, no one is surprised that for 3 years running, I was the philanthropy chair. And then I left school to do a job.
But wait, so I was a dorm rat. Because I had this, I was very angry. I was an angry introvert. Oh, I was angry at the man.
Okay.
Yep. I was angry at the man. And I like wore like combat boots and, but I also.
But today you're wearing like super designery combat boots.
It was very conflicting for me because I desperately wanted attention from guys, but I hated myself for that. So it expressed in like this, like, y'all are fucking sexist and I hate you all. I grew up in Seattle.
Literally, I was about to be like, were you going to college in Seattle? Like, were you in the rain?
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Pissed.
Yeah.
I went to college for a guy who dumped me.
Ooh.
Because he joined a fraternity.
No.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Oh, yeah.
And just walk up to him, kick him in the shin and be like, you know.
I already did it.
Really?
I already fucking moved to Hollywood and my fuck you dick.
I love it. I
fucked up his shins from afar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a fucked up way to put it. I could I'll come up with something better later. But like looking back, I think I would have been happier in a sorority because I felt very isolated and lonely in the dorms. And I'm not sure I would have fit in a sorority, but I was sort of in an unimaginative place, so I felt like it was cool to disparage the Greek system.
Sure.
Especially, I went to University of Washington, big state school. We had like 40, what do you call them, Greek houses?
I mean, I still kind of think it's cool to disparage. The stereotype of the Greek system is so intense, and it's so antithetical to who I am and what I believe in. But I also had a very opposing experience.
And that's
in
what
it.
I think. That
so it's
I
weird.
Think I would have been happier. I mean, I was already used to rejection. So, but if I had like joined a sorority and had at least a sense of community, I think I would have enjoyed college a lot more.
Yeah, I think the sense of community was really helpful. I think there's a lot about that system that's very toxic, but I actually just think that there's a lot about the way we encourage young people to behave in college that's very toxic, whether it's within a system or not. Like the binge drinking and the way you're sort of let loose to critique everybody for just being who they are. It's like, I don't know. I think college felt a little different for me because I came from an all-girls school. I'd been in all-girls school since I was 12. So I don't know. Like, I would roll to class in my pajamas.
So
still.
Did you get,
I didn't
like,
know that was weird.
Did you get, like, I mean, I'm sure you went to, like, parties and stuff in high school and everything, and you had like boyfriends and everything, but was there a little bit of a head rush with like suddenly being, I mean, I think there's a head rush for anyone, you know, going to college, whether but I don't know, was there like a, did it, I don't know, I dressed like, because it, for the first time in my life I was getting noticed by guys, and so I went to this weird thing where I truly wore garter belts and little plaid skirts, and I dressed like this very angry yet potentially available person.
You're like, I hate you, but check out these gams.
Yes. Yeah. And I'd be like, why are you, like internally, like if a guy would check me out, I'd be like, why are you looking at me? What a fucking ass. And it's like in hindsight, it's like, what the fuck was I thinking? Of course, like I look like a fucking clown. I look like I'm a part of Cirque du Soleil.
I mean, I found a picture of myself from like a homecoming weekend at USC wearing a pair of jeans that had the top cut off. So like, you know, when you like cut your jeans and the ends of the legs fray, and it's cute because it's like that's fashion. I did it to the top. I don't know who told me that was a good idea.
I bet.
I didn't know what was up. I wore a uniform for so long that like I still sort of...
So fun though to be able to like...
But I didn't get it. And I still stand in my room most days and I'm like, how do people get dressed? Like, how does this work? That's why like my easiest cheat is to throw a dress on and people are like, you're so put together. I'm like, I didn't have to do anything though. It's one thing. It's like I wore a nicer version of a nightgown and I got away with it. I still don't get it, but it's fine.
How do you, okay, this is, well, we'll get to our thing here in a second, but how do you feel about Halloween? Because I have, like...
I love it.
As an actor, I have a, I feel like I don't want to dress up because I feel like I do that, a degree of that for a living. I mean, it's not as, like...
Oh, but see...
Flamboyant or anything.
I like the flamboyance and the extremity you can kind of push towards on Halloween. Like, I want to go big on Halloween. I don't always do it because I'm also a major procrastinator. But the idea that you could like really go all out for something, oh, I just get real excited about it.
What's the best Halloween costume you've worn?
Years ago, I went to a Halloween party with my then boyfriend. And it was when... Oh, and I like hate bringing up other people's personal lives, but it was a great costume. It was just after Katy Perry and Russell Brand had gotten married. And we went as them because they were like such a comedic sort of fixture, I think, in the world at that time.
Yeah.
To people who probably didn't know them. And I met this woman randomly, and she was the lady who at that time was making Katy Perry's latex dresses. And she literally had extra latex from one of the dresses she made for her, and she made me one, and I did like the blue wig, and I had to wear like four Wonder Bras to like make the thing happen because we're not built the same.
But is that like a sweaty outfit though?
Yeah, I mean, you literally have to put lube on your body to get into it. It's like a condom in reverse. It's really bizarre.
Like a Trojan.
Like a Trojan. Hey, USC college kids, practice safe sex, please. Especially in today's day and age when like birth control is being debated as healthcare. Anyway, yeah, and it was hilarious. And like, we were wearing wigs and we just like did it right. And people actually from afar thought we were them all night long. And we were just like cackling.
That's kind of fun.
It was really fun.
That's fun.
It was like really silly and goofy and stupid and fun.
That's, I like that. I like that. I also really like your boots.
Thanks.
And usually when I compliment people on something, they give it to me.
Mm.
What size do you wear?
What size do you wear?
6.5.
Yes, I wear an 8.
Oh,
what? Woo! I've avoided, but I'll tell you where I got them. I could like find you a link.
All right.
I'll hook it up.
I'm very lazy.
I mean, me too. That's why I shop online.
Yes, me too.
And also why I either wear the same t-shirt and jeans every day or dresses. I don't even know what's under there.
I can't quite tell.
I'll take them off and we can look on the inside.
I think I'm a little bit old. My eyesight's going.
Oh.
I was hoping that would make you feel better in terms of I'm not looking up your skirt.
No, I felt that way today. I was telling you when I got here, like I was supposed to have a session with a physical therapist because I pinched a nerve in my back. And I was like, what am I, 70? Like, what's happening?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was like sciatica shit.
Mm-hmm. It's actually in my shoulder. And it's probably because I'm like a little bit of a tomboy who expresses my anger at the man by demanding that I do all of my own stunts on really aggressive projects. Oh. I'm like, I can do it. Don't tell me I can't do it. Don't tell me the guy has to do it. You know, I get all like defensive about it. And that's probably why my shoulder's super fucked up.
Oh, but that's kind of fucking rad.
I mean, it's fun, but I've definitely had a day or two. On one job, I did have to go to the hospital one day and have a CAT scan. And I was like, if I actually like have a brain bleed, I'm going to be real pissed at myself.
But there's a whole, and maybe we can talk about this later, but there is a whole relationship between like the stunt coordinator personality. And I totally understand where you come from, that it's like, yeah, let's fucking do this. And they're like, yeah, she can do it. She can totally do it. It's cool. Like, we went over it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to prove something. We're trying to prove whatever.
Totally.
And then the director's like, I don't know. It seems good to me. I feel like it's all good for you guys.
Everything's
going to
be great.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then next,
isn't
you know,
that the funny thing, though, about our business is like, people assume that everyone who does what we do is just walking around like oozing self-confidence and thinks the best of themselves. And we're all just like the scared fifth grader in on the first day of school every single day.
Every
being like,
fucking
is everything okay? Does everybody think that it's okay? Like, is this the day that everybody's going to figure out that I'm the one person in the room who doesn't know what I'm doing? And then you realize everybody in the room feels that way. It's like, it's a lot.
There's my mark. What's my fucking line? What's my fucking line? There's my mark. Will I hit it? What's my fucking line?
What's my Here's line? What's funny for me. I think I'm very spatial. Like, I was good at geometry and trigonometry. I had no use for calculus. Like, spatial math makes sense to me. Marks, all of that shit, like, I could do it in my sleep. And I know my lines and your lines. But what happens to me when I suddenly have the thing where, like, I'm able to suspend disbelief, do my job, be there, have the empathetic response, and really be in the trenches with somebody. And then one little thing will happen, and it's like suddenly the veil gets pulled up, and I realize there's a huge room full of people, and everybody is staring. And the number one thing that fucks me up every day when that moment happens and I go, is I go, what do I do with my hands?
Oh,
like,
yes,
suddenly
yes,
I'm like,
yes.
What are these arms and these things at the end of them, and where do they go? Do they go in my pocket? Do I put them on my hips? Does that look weird? Like, when my self-consciousness on set is triggered, I have no fucking idea what to do with my hands.
Oh, I'm so with you on that, except for that's my entire body. But yes, but you know, it's so true, because it is, we are always doing active things with our hands. And if we don't have something to do with them, or even like making prolonged eye contact, which is what, you know, you're supposed to do.
Which is our job, like
right,
this.
Right.
I also like that I'm saying like this, and yeah. I realize nobody listening can see what we're
and
doing.
And you're supposed to look at the one eye.
Right.
And still like try to tap into intense emotion
right.
while looking
and
at one person's
eye. And then you start to not be able to focus
eye.
On the person's face.
Right. Which
so
never fucking happens in real life.
No.
Oh God. Are we just a bunch of fucking dicks?
I'm fascinated by this. No, I'm
really?
Serious. Seriously. I had no idea that's what happens.
Oh, yeah. And there's also this weird thing that happens sometimes when a camera angle is super tight, like when you're doing coverage in a scene. So let's say we were filming this. For everybody at home who's listening, Anna's on one end of the couch, I'm on the other, and we're facing each other. So if this was being filmed for a TV show, there'd be like a master shot, is what they call it, from across the room that holds the couch and us. And then you'd do coverage. So they'd be behind my head shooting at her. And then on my coverage, they'd be behind her head shooting at me. And that's how the scene gets cut together. But if the camera angle is like just so, a director literally will say to me while I'm staring at her, yeah, you can't look at her eye. We need you to actually look at her left ear
right,
while you
right,
talk to
right.
her. So your eye line is right. So you're trying to have a moment with someone and you're staring at their ear and they're talking to you, but you're not making eye contact with them. And it is the weirdest experience.
Sophia wants me to put a piece of tape on my ear, but
yeah.
I'm already wrapped and I'm out.
I'm leaving.
God.
Oh, man.
Michael Sherman, Sophia's such a fucking bitch.
You know, what are you going to do? You're like, you have to stay for my coverage.
No, but it is, of course, hard. It's hard to tap into what you want to be genuinely feeling in sort of that unnatural fucking weirdness. And, you know, and we get asked, I'm sure you do too, although I have not had that many romantic scenes at all in my career, but, you know, like, what's it like to, you know, make out with somebody? And do you feel, does that mean that you have feelings for them? Because it feels clinical and self-conscious.
I always say to people when they're like, okay, but what about that scene? I'm like, there were a room full of people going, okay, great.
Right.
Keep doing that. Just tilt your head. They're literally talking to you while it's happening because the lighting is so specific. And you're like, what if we made it look hot on camera? We literally deserve Academy Awards because it was awkward.
And I'm always like, oh, fuck, I had the fucking onion tart. I love an onion tart.
Wait, is this
everyone
a real
knows
thing?
No,
oh.
But I'm always concerned about, you know, my breath or
right.
like whatever. Like, am I going to? I had a co-star once. I'm not going to say who, but.
But afterwards, you'll tell me.
But kissing him, it felt like. And he was a bigger star, and it felt like opening up a clam with my mouth. And I felt
nope.
so self-conscious, like, oh, this guy's so handsome and he doesn't want to kiss me. And
oh, wow.
and it felt, I felt like rejection in the moment because kissing him felt so difficult because he kept his lips so
tightly shut. Oh,
right.
No.
And he wouldn't
also,
really
no
do
one
it.
Does that in real life.
And especially too, not to like bring too much gender into it, but of course, like I want to feel attractive by somebody who's very attractive. Just not that I need it to fucking go anywhere or anything like that, but just to feel like, oh, okay, like I can be here.
Well, and really what that means is that you want to feel safe.
Exactly.
Like you want to feel like somebody has your back.
Exactly.
And when you have to be like touching and be touched by someone, you really want to feel like they have your back.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I've been in positions where I've really had people on set who I've had, like, it could just be a kissing scene, but still it's really intimate. It's awkward. And I've been really well taken care of by some co-stars who just are like so there for it. And when you have an establishment that you're in a space where it's respectful, nobody's trying to flirt with anybody, but you also want to make it look dope. And like you have the conversation of if anything's uncomfortable, let me know. Right. I'll check in on you. Yeah. Please check in on
That's
me.
That's the thing that
then you feel free.
Yep, totally.
And then I've had the opposite where I've had some people be the actual worst. I had a guy once, he bit my lip during a kissing scene, but like didn't bite like my actual lip, bit like way down at the bottom of where like your lower mouth attaches to your chin on the inside, and like dragged my lower lip through his teeth like a fucking artichoke leaf, and actually drew blood. And I went, what the, like in the middle of a take, and I don't do that. Like I don't break ever. And I finally just like, I yanked my face away from like the tooth assault, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, what, I'm being sexy. And I was like, bro, pro tip, not sexy. And like, if you do that to a girl in real life, like, game over. You're never going on another date again. Like, it is not my responsibility to teach you how to kiss a girl properly, but I'm gonna go ahead and say this isn't how you do it.
And you know, probably in his dressing room or whatever, he was probably like, I'm going to get a reaction out of her.
Yeah, he was like, this is going to be super hot.
Yeah. I'm going to startle her and it's going to be fucking amazing.
Nope.
Yep, I know.
Nope.
Yep.
The last thing I want to be doing when my like physical personal space is compromised by another person is feel startled.
Oh, completely.
That's actually not the move.
No. No, I'm so like, yes, you're 100%, because it's also disrespectful and whatever. It's like, it's,
and I know that wasn't the intention. Like, but it was so unconscious. And I was just like, can we never do that again? Please. And thank you. Yeah. What a weird thing.
Speaking of this kind of thing though.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, look, the paper's coming out.
The paper's coming out.
You have like some prepared questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
These are deal breakers. You don't have to talk about.
Wait, what do you mean?
If you are single. And you don't have to talk about if you are single or you're not single. But imagine that you are.
Oh, no. I'm good. Yeah, I've been single for years.
Which I heard you say that on Jimmy Fallon. It was Jimmy Fallon, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking to him about all the hot guys on the subway reading.
Yeah. Oh,
hello.
That is also what I want to talk to you about books later. But
yeah,
that's intriguing to me because you could obviously be with anybody you ever wanted. And so do you... It's just interesting that you haven't gravitated towards relationships.
So here's what's interesting to me. What anybody perceives from the outside is always so different than how you feel on the inside, right? And I think about this as I've sat with all of this stuff for the last years. And I sort of like have a highlight reel where I go, okay, when I started speaking, I spoke in full sentences. I have been environmentally engaged since I was a little kid. I've been political for as long as I can remember. I went to USC for the BFA acting program, and like, no shade, they're all lovely. But I was like, if I have to stand in a room and talk about my fucking craft all day, I'm going to throw myself off of a building. And I transferred into the journalism school and I did an emphasis in political science. And like, I am so into the world and into people and into music. And like, I am a lot. And the change, in the same way that I'm trying to learn how to take a compliment and be thankful for it and let it resonate, is I'm no longer, my old story was I'm too much. Fuck that. I'm not too much. I'm actually really fun. I'm a great friend. I give
You're
a shit
fucking
about
awesome.
I appreciate you. I give a shit about people even when they're not all that nice to me. Like, I will sit and really talk about issues with people who believe very different things than I do, because I think it's the only way forward. I have been for many years told that I'm intimidating. And for many years, my old story was, okay, well, I'm a lot for people then, or I'm a lot for guys. As a woman who operates in the world the way I do, I must be too much. And no, not true. What I realized is when somebody, especially a man, says to a woman, oh, wow, you're intimidating. I'm like, I'm not intimidating. You're just intimidated. You are afraid of my bigness or expansiveness or passion because you didn't maybe grow up in a household with a woman who had that space. You know, we come from this very patriarchal society where, whether it's through conditioning or messaging or media or whatever, women for ages have been taught to be smaller, like be cute, sit still, look pretty, stick to acting. If one more person, like, talk about people I want to kick in the shins. And so what I realize as I look back at the way I have operated, also, by the way, as a serial monogamist for a long time and stuck in relationships that were not good for me, I now look back and go, oh, it's not my fault. It's not their fault. Even the guys who've fucked up so bad, and I've had a handful, what I realize is that I have to own my role in it. Because more often than not, I have chosen to date the potential I see in someone and not who somebody is in this current moment. And that's not to throw shade at anybody. That's simply to say I settled for less. And maybe that's because I like came into the world like a little Ruth Bader Ginsburg and was like an old woman from the time that I was born. And like the guys just haven't caught up. I don't know. But even in the relationships where like I've been cheated on or fucked over, or they've been so toxic, or like I've fallen in love with my best friend after years when I knew it was a bad idea, but that's my best friend. And like, we were never meant to be anything more than friends, but it's so easy in the world with like a straight cisgendered woman and a straight cisgendered man when they're obsessed with each other to be convinced that that means it's romantic. I finally, years ago, when I got off a roller coaster in my last relationship with a person who I love, but who like the relationship was so bad for me, I finally went, enough, just enough. Like, I'm good, I'm done. I have companionship because I have the most tremendous community. My friends are so special and amazing. They are like ride or die, travel the world, show up at 2 a.m. like good humans. And I realized that if I wasn't as patient with myself or as loving to myself as I've been with partners who just didn't, at the end of the day, deserve it. And again, that's not a hateful thing. It's just to say, like, you don't deserve this piece of me. That's okay. I fucked up by giving it to you when you didn't deserve it. And I got to own that I don't deserve to treat myself that way either. Now, for the last couple of years, like, I've gone on some dates. There's been, you know, two or three lovely dudes who, like, I've seen for a moment and then gone, you're great, but you're not my guy.
I never want to question my own strength. And because of, like, what you're saying, the idea of patriarchal society, I've been in relationships where I have, but I can't not be like proactive in my career, and I can't not be a passionate person.
And why are you supposed to shrink?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they're not expected to.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I love what you're saying. And Sim, look at Sim. He's like, oh fuck. But he married, I've known Sim for 20 years now. Yeah. And
whoa. Wait, and where did you guys meet?
We met at a bar, sort of through like mutual friends, not on a date, just a friends hang out.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we just like
We hit it off as friends.
Yeah.
It's rare,
yeah.
You know, yeah. To do that.
Completely.
Male, female.
We have
I have some of those amazing dudes in my life. Like, just the best.
But I have seen Sim with a lot of beautiful and mostly wonderful women.
I love you. Mostly wonderful.
And now
mostly.
He's one
person who was like the Antichrist. It's cool.
He's married to a federal prosecutor and they just had a baby and she is fucking strong as shit. And I'm so, I don't know if it, I don't know.
She's going to love hearing you say that. Thank you for saying that.
That's
no,
so cool.
And it's funny that her hero is Ruth Bader Ginsburg as well.
Yes.
But anyway, and she's fucking rad. She's gorgeous and amazing. And but I don't know if that would have, I mean, you would have always wanted to fuck Amy. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like if you were, you know, 27, would you have been at all like intimidated by her?
Yes. I think so. I mean,
at
27,
like
I wouldn't be able to handle someone I didn't have the experience to be able to be with someone that strong and have that point of view and that mindset.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like, and to understand like, okay, I get reward out of this woman's drive and passion.
100%.
Yeah. And I imagine that she motivates you to step into your power because she does it for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's no way that you could have been ready for that before. And like, I was in a relationship with somebody who I love as a person. It's really nice that the majority of my like long-term, you know, serial monogamous relationships, like these 2 and 3 year, like beautiful learning experiences I've had, like we're all friends. Like my ex who I went as, you know, with dressed up as Katie and Russell, like, we saw each other 3 weeks ago for lunch and like, we love each other.
That's that's so fucking rad.
I actually just this morning, literally walking to get a coffee on my way to my first meeting, ran into my childhood best friend since I'm 9 years old. We went to summer camp. We grew up going to summer camp together and we were high school sweethearts. And he is, when I tell you, one of my like 10 favorite men on the planet. I love him with my whole heart. I am obsessed with his wife. They have the cutest baby in the world. And like, they're always like, why aren't you dating? And I'm like, I'm so unwilling to offer any of my limited free time to any man who isn't like the man. Like no more. My girlfriend said this to me. She goes, no more princes. Like, a man shows up as a king for you or nothing.
Fuck yeah.
And like, yeah, I built my own castle. I'm
That's
good.
Right.
I don't
That's
need
right.
you for anything. So you better be a value add or like, I'm going to hang out with my friends who already know all my secrets and all my shit and my Thai food order. I don't need to teach you anything. Like, you better be here to really embody the like, yes, the safe
Build
space.
Build your ladder. I'm not growing my hair out.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. Can we make a bumper sticker?
Sure.
Build a ladder.
Yeah.
Not giving you my ponytail.
Yeah. He works the graveyard shift.
Is a what? Oh, that is that a deal breaker?
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's permanent forever, I am so hyper light sensitive. I really struggle to sleep the minute the sun is up. I would have a very hard time with that.
But maybe he has easy access to Ambien.
I mean, maybe. Or if he has like a bat cave in his house and I can sleep in the dark, like what's he doing? Is he like making rad music staying up all night?
No. He's a security guard in a graveyard. But
I'm super sensitive to like ghosts and spirits and things. They love to follow me around. I've lived in a couple of haunted houses. I don't need any more of that shit following me home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait. What if he lived
in a
haunted house?
No.
Okay, wait.
No.
But it was this super like happy couple.
No, I'm
and
cool.
And they both died at like 101. They had
That's
this
literally the story
marriage.
Of my neighbors.
And he's just like, oh, it's no. like Ethel and Frank. Oh, they're here again. But, you know, they're truly, they're good ghosts. They don't want to disturb us. They just
I made friends
like,
with my last ghost
again.
And it was like everything was copacetic. But no, everything you've just said has made it more of a deal breaker than it was at the first.
I was going to go with like. Tug on the bat thing.
Nope.
Which is interesting. Okay.
Wait, Anna, before you go, pick a couple because she also brought something weird. And we have the two calls. Shit. So we don't want to keep her here all night.
No, guys, I'm here. I'm cool. Let's do this.
He wears sandals with socks.
I mean, lately there's like a cool sort of zaddy trend of like badass striped socks and Adidas sandals. And if it's that kind of sandals with socks, I'm into it.
They're Tevas?
Nope. I was just about to say, if it's like tube socks and Tevas, out. I can't. Unless he's willing
Unless he's ahead
to
of
just
the
let
curve.
Me like do his shopping for him and then I could like up the style. But if it's like, no.
He wants to be a river rafting guide.
I need a dude who can like go rugged to red carpet with me. Like I want you to be able to hang camping with me and my friends, but also you got to be able to throw on a tux, head to the work thing, stand awkwardly in the corner with me until I calm down about my social anxiety. And then we can like dance all night. Like, no, that's a no. Looks, okay. I'm learning. This time being single, I know what I want and what I don't. Thank you very much. Next.
Okay, you got it. But wait, you've had a great first date.
Uh-huh.
He walks you to your door.
Okay.
And
gives
you.
I'm sweating. I'm so uncomfortable.
Maybe you guys kiss. Maybe you don't. Whatever, that part doesn't matter. But he says, hey.
I rarely kiss anyone on a first date, but okay.
I like you the way you are. When we're driving in your car and you're. Talking to me one-on-one, but you become somebody else, round everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't relax.
I mean, I don't know what that song is. I hate the quote of a song.
Okay, wait,
however,
wait,
actually very true because I do have social anxiety.
Let me
like,
attempt
pretty
to
hardcore.
Sing it and see if... Wait, Sim, you should sing it. Come on, Sim.
No, you're. No
you
one wants to hear me sing
it. This was your.
Come on.
No, I mean, I love this song.
If you really want to step
okay,
into
we'll
the world.
We'll sing it together. Okay.
I like you the way you are when we're driving in your car and you're talking to me one-on-one, but you become somebody else round everybody else. You're watching your back like you can't relax.
I mean, honestly, the world of Can't Hardly Wait and 10 Things I Hate About You is my world. I grew up on that shit. So if this really went down, I probably would be excited and also feel creepily seen because how do you know after one date that I am very socially anxious?
I like the idea that he's passing this off as like his own sort of like, how do I end the
Here's
date?
What I want. I want
really
him to
like
start
her.
It in speaking.
Okay.
And
no,
then like
okay,
ramp
all right, all right.
it into a song. And then I would be like my Jimmy Fallon episode. I'd be like, are you my husband? Like, is this what's happening?
Sophia, oh man, this was awesome. Thanks so much.
I had the best time.
I did too. Mm. I did too. I love it that you like shellfish and, things that grow in the ocean in general, seaweed and shit.
Coral.
Like that, but coral. Mm. I like you the way you are. You know, when we're, I don't know, driving in your car and you're talking to me one-on-one, but you become somebody else around
yes.
everyone
yes.
else. You're watching your back like
you can't relax.
That's when you turn into a fucking bitch, Sophia.
Well, then now you ruined it. I was in. This was my Notting Hill moment. Like, I'm just a girl standing in front of a girl who's pretending to be a boy on a hypothetical date, asking him to love her.
But this dude doesn't understand you because the thing is that you would never become someone else around everyone else.
No.
This is what I know about you,
That's
Sophia.
True, I do get anxious.
He's inaccurate. And also he thinks that back and relax can rhyme.
He might be a little dumb for me.
He's a little dumb.
I do require a high IQ.
Okay.
This is a thing that I've learned. I get real bored if you're not smart.
I want to, God, there's so many things I want to talk about.
Come on, we can do
it. Okay, he has satin sheets.
Come on.
Little slip and slash.
Not for me. Come not on. A fan. That's changeable, though. That's not a deal breaker. But I would.
I don't know.
I would be like, hey, Wiz, let's go have lunch in Venice. Oh my God, look, a parachute home. They have such nice sheets here. Maybe we should get you some new ones.
Nah, babe.
You know, I would like come up with the.
Babe, no. Come on, man.
I don't. Babe. I'm never gonna have sex with you on sheets that you fucked some other girl on.
Babe.
That's an easy way to win it.
Babe.
You know
babe.
I'm right.
I wouldn't fuck.
Nope.
As soon as I fucking fell in love with you, I bought new fucking sheets.
Nah, can't get down. We should just buy our own sheets. I would figure it out. If I loved someone, satin sheets would not be a deal breaker. They wouldn't.
Can we do one quick chat or no? Or bring something weird? What do we do?
Will we have
please,
two calls
please,
too?
Please, one right. quick chat. I know.
Pick
come on, this can be like a super episode or something.
Okay.
Do you have a time limit?
Well, I have to leave for
yeah,
class.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a teacher. By teacher, I mean professor.
He's a professor and he's students? Married to a lawyer.
Okay, can I
You are the American dream.
Can I be Chad?
This is actually how my sweet immigrant father wanted my life to turn out. And then I became a fucking actor and ruined everything. That's like not on the approved your parents came here from another country job list, but it's fine.
Okay, you're in Aspen.
Okay.
This will be quick.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, no, of course.
Okay, so you're in Aspen okay. on a ski trip.
Yeah.
You're at the lodge during like whatever afternoon break.
Après ski. I love that après ski. It sounds so fancy.
You're at the bar.
Okay.
You name me. I'm the bartender. Would you name me something? What was it? Whatever you want.
Are you like here from another country? Like, are you one of those Australians who comes like
that'd
for
be fun
off
to make
season?
Him do that.
No,
like,
no, you're not making.
Are
me
you
do
from
that.
Like?
Okay, my name is
Norway?
Mitchell. I'm just Mitchell.
All right, Mitch.
Yes.
Yeah, Mitch sounds more like a ski.
Great.
All right.
Guy.
So you're there.
What are you having?
Hey, what's up, ma'am? What's your name?
Mitch.
Cool. All right, I'm Chad. Yeah, I'll have a Macallan 12.
Macallan 12.
Yeah. Fuck.
And you're okay with your drink?
Yeah, I'm good.
What's up? Man, that was a fucking crazy fucking powder out there, huh? Conditions
yes.
were fucking amazing.
It's nice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I know I'm going to be, like, fucking sore tomorrow. So what's up? Anyway, you don't have to talk to me. I'm, like, kind of a fucking jerk. I'm Chad.
This guy who talks this way is my nightmare.
I'm Chad. What's up? Have you ever tried Macallan 12? It's fucking good.
I have.
I actually work with them. Listen,
I'm
this
good.
One's on me.
Whoa, no,
so wait. I think I saw you earlier. Were you like wearing those like little like earmuffs, those pink ones or something? Man, you're fucking good. You're good. Like a shredding down here.
Yeah, line. Pink earmuffs definitely
That's
not.
That's cool.
Me.
I admire
Probably
that though.
Somebody...
I really do. Like an athletic girl.
He's like the adult version of the interrupting cow. That guy's horrible.
So wait, what do?
No. No.
Come on. What do you do?
I have a strict rule that when I'm on vacation and I don't talk about work, you enjoy your scotch. I'm gonna go sit outside.
Don't fucking leave. No. Don't be like that. No. It's cool.
It's cool.
I'm not gonna fucking harass you, man.
It's
I got
cool.
Mitch to harass, man.
Sure. Great.
Is he bothering
dude,
you?
I don't even fucking
like
brunettes.
I can have him taken away.
Yeah,
he's
I just feel like in 2018, consent should be pretty clear.
Okay.
It's cool.
Chad, you're going to have to leave. Sorry,
no,
buddy.
Fucking Mitch, man.
You're not,
Do
you can
you
come back tomorrow.
Do you have any fucking idea how much I was going to fucking tip you? Fuck you.
Mitch, it's cool. I'll tip for both of us. Do you want a drink? Because I feel like after that exchange, you might need a scotch.
I would love a scotch.
Great.
Thank
on
you.
Me, bro.
So, you would shut that down, though, in real life?
Oh, yeah.
Completely?
I'm not. I have no.
But you have no idea how many fun places there are to go with Chad.
No, you're right. If we were doing. If this was like.
Chad is the fucking worst.
He's the worst.
He has an app.
Yeah.
You should ask him about the app.
On.
You should just ask
Pretend
him about
like
the app.
There aren't any other chairs. You're waiting for your friend. Sophia, come on.
I hate this.
This is good. No, it's
you're
good.
You're not curious
no,
about
but
the app
see,
at
here's
all.
What's interesting is that this is the difference between your, like, deliciously comedic sensibility where you're probably like, ooh, I can mine this shit for gold. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I hate this person.
Oh, yeah. No, like, but that's why it's so fun to play characters that you hate.
That you hate.
Fundamentally.
No, that's actually a really good point. I did an episode, not of a person that I hated by any means, but I did an episode on season 3 of Easy, the Netflix show, you know, that Joe Swanberg does, and there's no script. The whole show is improv.
Was it fun?
It was the most fun I've ever had on a job. Like, ever.
Sophia, why the fuck are you shutting me down?
I know,
man.
So I'm just realizing I should go with it, but no one on his show is that insufferable.
I know.
That guy is like my night. Do you know that I have actually in bars, like to guys like that who get in my face and won't leave? Like, I'm polite once and then I'm not so polite the second time. I'm just like, you got to stop. And if they don't, I have done the full face palm, like palm to face, and pushed men away from me by the face.
I did
to
the
be like,
opposite.
No.
I was like, do you have a roofie I could have?
Oh my God. You're like, I don't want to remember this.
No.
So I'm going to do this to myself.
Like, I'm like mildly amused that you are so fucking incredibly obnoxious and you have no, you're not registering anything that's happening going on my face. But you do, you should explore this character's profession. It's not, it's, I mean, I think it's funny because we came up with it. But
this is a recurring character.
Yeah.
Okay. Does he live in Aspen?
No.
Okay, he just like visits there.
You can ask Chad.
Cool, and he has an app.
Yeah.
Even you doing the face makes my skin crawl. Like, you're so good at it, and I'm upset. Like, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm not even fucking into brunettes, you know?
God. Like, isn't that always the funny thing when someone tries to hit on you, and then you reject them, and they're like, fucking ugly bitch, and you're like, why were you talking to me in the first place, you loser?
Guess you've had a few bad experiences, huh? But I'm not like that. I'm fucking real. I'm fucking real.
Do you find that people who
like I never
are
fucking,
real often have to say how real they are?
Like, I just fucking respect. You know, like, if, like, I don't even care. Like, it's just like, if you're fucking intelligent and beautiful, I don't give a fuck, you know? Like, I don't
intelligent
prejudge.
And beautiful. That's the...
I don't fucking prejudge, you know?
Cool, cool, cool. So what if someone's intelligent but not traditionally attractive?
Like what?
Took you a long time to get there.
I don't, like, I don't know. What the fuck do you mean by that? Like, I mean, because I don't really even see, like, I have one of these, like, I have this, like, optical issue.
Optical.
Yeah, where like I don't even actually see shape or form or like anything traditional. You know, I fucking.
What do you
like,
see auras?
Yeah, that's a good way to put
what
it.
What color is mine?
Purple. Violety.
Interesting.
Violet, I would call it maybe like a sort of a combo of blue and violet or something.
Violet.
Yeah, I can see.
I'm gonna
I can
add
sense,
that to my
I can sense
Twitter
you're really fucking.
Profile.
That you're a kind, really smart person.
Thank you.
And also, I hope this doesn't sound fucked up or anything, but you look a lot like my sister.
That might be just a tad into the realm of fucked up. Just a little bit.
No. It just means I'm not like coming on to you or anything. You know, it's
right.
Like,
that's
it's
why
like
you're not into brunettes.
My sister, and that's why I think we would be like friends, you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you do?
My actual answer when I get this question, because I find talking about our profession to be so horrifying, is I generally tell people that I do a lot of work in the nonprofit space because that's true.
So you have a good soul. I knew it.
Yep.
You're like a good hearted person, but you clearly come from money because that's why you're fucking here in Aspen, right?
Cool. What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Other than work with McAllen.
I started an app.
Okay.
I started an app. I live down in SoCal. Like Marina Del Rey, they call
right,
it sort of
yeah.
Silicon Valley, the South or whatever. It's not like even that big of a thing or whatever. Anyway, I started this app. It's called Titlook. It's a dating app.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty
I'm
much.
Sorry,
it's
I'm
like,
having a hard time getting
started. No. But what's cool about it is that you truly just like, you cut to the chase. It's like all the other fucking dating apps, it's like, oh, run around. It's like, oh, face or like whatever fucking profession
or
whatever.
So your app is just tits.
Just tits, yeah.
What do girls get to look at?
Income.
This
so it's like fair.
This is highly
you know?
Unfortunate.
It's fair.
No,
it's fucking progressive and fair. It's like we're being honest.
Sure. Okay, so let's hypothetically say that what you're saying isn't bullshit. I would suggest that it isn't a
you're an
dating
Aspen,
app.
Drinking Macallan 12. I don't know, man. Seems like I really fucking found the road to success.
Not super impressed
just being
about
honest.
It. Sure, but you know, there's plenty of pharmaceutical drugs that kill people that make everyone lots of money. No, what I would say is rather than to be, let's call it dishonest, I wouldn't say that
she's
you
feisty,
run a
Mitch.
Dating
I like her.
App. I would say that you run like a higher class, like Craigslist, just straight looking for sex hookup. Spot.
Yeah. Yep. Nailed it.
Okay.
I like it. Because a lot of
it's
fucking,
kind of like
of
you created like the
to,
straight
they're
grinder.
Like, oh, like you're fucking sexist, and it's like, no, man. It's like you have nice fucking tits. What's wrong with that?
Sure. I think if you want to not be sexist, you should give us something in return. Like at least make guys post ass shots. Because if it's just like a fuck for follow kind of situation,
it's
the last thing I want to hang
like
with
how
is
much
a flat
do you fucking
ass.
Make.
Yeah, but like, that doesn't
like
quite
how
either.
Like do you like does
so,
your
so
income
is this a straight up hooking site
equal
or like a sugar
tits.
Daddy site?
No, it's just simply it's like does your income level like equal these tits?
I don't think it works that way. I think it's sort
babe,
of subjective.
Babe, beg to differ. Beg to differ.
Oh God, this is the worst.
He's the worst
the
human.
Worst. Literally the worst person on the planet.
I know, but it's so fun. I'm Sophia,
I'm
thank you so much
trying
for
to
indulging
stay in
me.
It, but it's so bad. But you're so good at it.
Thank you. And
as such like a nice, kind, funny person, can you be so good at doing that?
I love you for saying. I get fulfillment in sort of tapping into an idea of experiences that I've had when I was younger.
Wait, did you know that guy?
Well, versions of that guy, not that guy. I was too poor and my tits weren't big enough.
I mean, me neither.
But you know that idea of like the stupid presumption of,
oh man,
of
it's the
like,
worst.
This, I got this. Like,
it's also so interesting, like, the world of that dude who thinks that like the drink they order or the car they drive is
right.
attractive.
Oh my God, that's a good one. Next time, Chad's gonna pull out his car keys.
God, oh my
that
God.
Element.
No. That's my gift to you for your next
thank
interview.
You. Yeah. Thank you.
But he
thank
should
you
pull out like
along.
The. What is it's like?
He's truly a,
the key that's the miniature version of the car that he drives, like that really douchey thing.
Oh yeah, and I'll have to have a sound effect. All right. Thank
yeah, you.
You
need like a little like. Yeah.
Oh wait,
like,
I can take care of that. That's easy.
Yeah. Like a Hot Wheels noise.
Yeah.
You know where to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mitchell.
Wait. So we take. We're
Chad.
Taking calls.
Yeah, we're gonna do a call. So we're calling Courtney now.
Okay.
She's in Seattle.
Hello.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
Hi, Courtney. It's Anna.
Hi, Anna.
And we're here with Sophia Bush.
Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Oh, my God. Hi, Sophia. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're so good.
We're great. We're having, like, amazing sort of
awesome.
Female time and sort of embarrassing sim, which is fun.
So, yes, they are embarrassing me. No, Anna is. So, Courtney, it says here your subject is dream job versus love of my life, and you're going through this, what you call a back-breaking dilemma. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So I've been with my boyfriend for about a year and a half, and it's been total magic the entire time. Mm. He's super respectful, charming, and really makes me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. And we've kind of been through a lot in the short amount of time we've been together. And I guess this issue is a little bit more of a struggle for me because I've been having a hard time finding a good workplace that kind of does balances out career satisfaction and all that. So I recently started a new job as a marketing and event coordinator about a month ago, and I really love it. The company is super awesome and really care about their people, which rolls me over to my issue is a week after I started and on my birthday, my boyfriend told me that he got this epic job promotion in Portland. And this opportunity is really kind of a once-in-a-lifetime role where you can finally afford the life that he's always wanted. So I felt really selfish if I would tell him to stay. So basically, we're kind of at this point where it's like, should I stay at my job in Seattle and find a roommate and be a part of a long distance relationship for an unforeseen amount of time? Or should I uproot before I get too deep in my new role, move to Portland and get a new job?
Oh, boy. I mean, you know, Sophia and I are both looking at each other because I think that this is, I mean, it's something that being in a profession where we constantly have to travel and we're away from our partners all the time, it's been very difficult for me to ever sacrifice my career for a relationship. I don't know if I have the answers for this one at all because
it's interesting. We're looking at each other and we're having opposite head shakes. One of us is like violently shaking our heads no, and one of us is violently shaking our heads yes. So can I run us through what you've said and point a couple of things out that stand out to me that tell me that rather than needing to ask us for the answer, I think you already know it. The thing that jumps out to me first is you say we've been on fire since our first date in a good way. You list all of the qualities about why this man is amazing. And you literally wrote the words to us, I know I want to marry this man. You've said to me that the job that you're in is new, yeah?
Courtney's been there for a month and a half, is that right?
And by the way, I've never given up a job for anything or anybody. And I have really positive experiences from that and some experiences that I wish I could change from that. So that might be also be me coming and projecting a little bit of my stuff into your space, which I want to be clear about. But you're saying that this job opportunity for him is like a once in a lifetime thing is your words, right?
Yeah. I mean, he can finally afford to buy a house and mm-hmm. have the backyard he's always wanted. So.
Well, are those things that you also want? Would be my first addendum question.
Yeah, I feel like we really bond over kind of the future that we're creating in our heads.
Okay.
I just think what scares me is before I even accepted this role, my now bosses kind of gave me, I don't want to say a hard time, but they kind of gave me a hard time because they saw that my job experience hasn't been super solid and like in regards to the length. And so I kind of get stress dreams about disappointing them on whatever I do choose.
Okay, wait, that part aside for just a beat, let me ask you this about your boyfriend. What's your communication level with him? Have you vocalized these, like, you know, that you love your job? Because men can, well, we can all be ding-dongs, but does he, I love saying fucking ding dong and I sound like I'm 80, but is he sort of under the assumption that you will go with him? I mean, has he sensed that you love this new job and this career opportunity? Like what's your communication level sort of in general with that?
Well, I definitely wear my heart on my sleeve, so I'm super obvious about everything I'm feeling. But with him, even when we first started telling people, he made it really clear that we were going to figure it out and that he understands this is a dream job and that, you know, he's told me individually that he obviously wants me there, but he's never once kind of backed me into a corner and has made me feel like I had to pick one or the other.
And you feel very loved by him, right?
Yeah, he's so amazing.
Is it crazy for him to go get settled there and you keep your job, like, and maybe you put like a 3-month limit on it, because who knows, maybe in 3 months you'll be miserable or whatever and stressed out with your job and you'll be ready to, I want you to be able to have it all. And I don't want you to give up your career for your amazing boyfriend or opportunity or anything, because you may be in Portland and lonely and wondering what do I do and how do I get a job. And I don't want you to resent him for those things either. And maybe you guys, I don't know, this is really reaching, but maybe he rents an apartment for 6 months instead of buying a house. And you guys like rent a little place in Olympia and, you know, make an hour and a half commute every night or at least every other night. Something that prioritizes your relationship as well as your careers, because I know that it's important, and I always want to encourage, especially in your 20s, it is all about career growth in your 20s.
I think that's such beautiful advice, because here's the thing. We always have to make compromises in relationship, and whether that's relationship within our family, relationships that are romantic. But what stands out to me is that you're saying, I know I want to marry this person. And if that's on the table, if that's something you two are communicating about, and he also feels the same way, then for me, yeah, I lean towards saying he should go and start this job, because it's the thing that could eventually be what's best for the two of you as a family unit. And make sure he likes it, because what you don't want is to say, I love him and he loves me and we're going to do this and we're going to go. And he goes to Portland and goes, oh God, I've made a mistake. So make sure he loves this job as much as you both think he will. If you were to say to me on this call, like, I've had this job for 10 years, it's my lifelong career, I don't know what to do, I'd be like, well, this is your life. But the part of me that thinks about the two of you goes, okay, if this is a newer position for you, and I would say this, by the way, if it was him, like, I'd be saying it, whether it's a woman on the phone or a man on the phone, there's a little more flexibility for you, and there's room for you to build your resume and your experience at a company that is so wonderful, and that hopefully, to your point, in a couple of months, if all goes well and you guys are commuting to be together, they say, we get it. Like, this is your life. This is your love. We'll give you the best references. I also like know that there's great, you know, work and opportunity and outdoor community and life in Portland. And if those are things that could be great for you, like, awesome. I just want to make sure that, yes, your 20s are about your career. And that's also when your career is a little more flexible. Like, at 27, your career is more flexible than it will be at 37. What sticks with me is you saying that this is your best friend and you know that you guys want to be married. That's a big thing.
Well, Courtney, when did you guys, at what point in your relationship did you guys move in together?
We actually moved in together last June, so I'm a little bitter because it's like, oh, look how cute our apartment is. All our stuff is integrated, and now I'm going to have to watch it, some of it get divided.
I actually think, though, that is not a bad thing. So you are both used to a sense maybe of kind of lonely independence. That sucks. That's a great way to sell it, Anna. But it would be different if you guys had moved in together, you know, a month after dating, whatever, to each his own. But that would mean that both your senses of loneliness and independence would be tested in a different way. I just don't want you or him to give up a career build when things are just so fresh.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of both of your career adjustments right now, I would say, like, 2 months.
I think your 3 month idea is amazing.
Yeah. And definitely don't have your boyfriend, if you feel comfortable, not encouraging him to, like, buy a home or anything like that. Also, I think the real estate market in Portland is fucking crazy right now, because who knows, he may be fucking miserable and want to come back to Seattle. And you may find yourself, like you mentioned earlier, that you're a little bit stressed at your new job, even though you love it. The next 3 months are, it's a shifting time for you guys. Mm-hmm. And I would just so encourage just a lot of open dialogue between you two. And it sounds like you guys are both really respectful of career paths. And I think that's really important. And being, you know, like we talked about earlier, all of us here in fucking LA, we're very much used to being apart and sacrificing relationships for careers. So it may be easy for me to say something like that. But I also, I want to protect both of you guys and your dreams. And I want you to be able to have it all. So,
That's good. That's perfect. What do you think, Courtney? Are you okay with this advice?
Yeah, it's totally fair advice. And I love being able to hear it from, you know, other perspectives and people who have more experience than I do. So thank you guys.
It means like the risk of some lonely nights and definitely a lot of like FaceTiming and being in touch. And it means like a lot of driving and, but I just wouldn't want you in a year from now to be like, fuck, like my boyfriend's now quitting his job and I had this great job, and then you would resent him, or, you know, and you've made it clear your level of generosity, which is amazing and necessary and amazing though. I want you to also, you know, just think about your own situation. And having said that, though, wait, when does he start? We didn't even ask an essential question. When does he start his job again?
So my birthday was on a Thursday, and they wanted him there the following Monday.
So it's soon.
Yeah.
Okay, it's soon. All right. So, but then all the more reason to get like a short-term lease on an inexpensive apartment.
Yeah. And I think the space that you guys will be given if you make this 3-month plan together, as long as you both commit to showing up with all the love you have for each other, to saying the things that are scary and maybe hard, to all of the FaceTimes and the commuting, that's going to be such a good test.
Yeah.
It's going to be such an amazing thing. And if this is the job for one of you that sets you up as a unit, you'll know in 3 months, and then you'll be able to plan accordingly.
Yeah.
And maybe the connections that come through his job or your job provide for one of you to be in the other person's space again. But there's nothing wrong with pursuing passion and really prioritizing this thing that you have. And in a way, this can become the space where you test if this love has the legs that you believe that it does. And if it does, and it sounds like it will, you'll be able to commit to it in that long-term way, knowing that you have an answer rather than a hunch.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. And one last frivolous thought, Courtney, too, is instead of putting an immediate down payment on a house in Portland, I would put aside, if you guys can afford it, a little, like, I don't know, a couple grand, and go to fucking like Bali for a week. Truly though, dedicate some time to your relationship like that, and something that you both have to look forward to. And it's like, oh my God, I saw this picture of this place. It's this funny little hostel, but it looks fucking amazing, or whatever. Like, dedicate some excitement and time to a future plan like that, if you guys can do that, or like even like a road trip to Mexico, like, or wherever, or Canada, like, but I would carve out intimate time for yourselves when you guys can't quite swing that right now. But I would, even if it never actually fucking happens, I would think about planning that so it can be. So you guys are constantly prioritizing your relationship, you know, and when during an important time when you kind of have to prioritize your career. Fuck, who the fuck am
this
I?
Is great.
You
the
guys,
worst.
You guys crushed the advice. It was great. I was very impressed by both of you.
Fuck you.
No, I'm not saying, I'm being completely serious. That was great. Courtney, hey, are you okay with that advice?
Courtney.
Yes, I'm good. I'll kind of recalibrate what I'm doing with my emotions and where I invest my emotions. So.
Yeah, yeah. And please be in touch. Because truly, though, what we didn't really talk too much about was your happiness level at your job. But you know, calculate that too, you know, and keep tabs on that. And you know, if you're not happy, you know, then that's something else to consider. But I just don't want you to give it up for this move, which thankfully, truly, Portland and Seattle, it's not that bad. You know, anyway, thank you. So will you please be in touch?
Thank you, Courtney.
Courtney, and I love you, and thank you.
I will. Thank you. I love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, sweet babe.
Great job, guys. Seriously.
Thanks.
That was great.
Thanks.
That 3-month strategy is...
I think it works.
...really smart.
That is.
Sophia, I really love you. You know how earlier...
I really love you.
You're a fucking goddess. You know, no. You're an empress.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to digest that.
Rule the kingdom.
Woo.
It's true. You're amazing.
I really enjoyed this episode, guys. Seriously. You guys are awesome.
I wish you could
together.
Say that with a little more like oomph.
I'm not kidding.
Come on, give it your
look
all.
Look at his sweet face.
I think that this episode is going to resonate with a lot of people. No,
a little bit.
I'm not kidding.
Although he was so... Can I embarrass him?
Yeah. Have said anything.
Oh, he's turning red. I oh, look at his cute face.
He was beyond... Like, he was just beyond excited for you to be here.
I've been a fan for a long time.
Me too. But he was like...
so nice.
He was like, but you went to USC? She's so smart. She's so beautiful. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm happily married. I just had a kid.
Yes, I know.
All those things are true.
He's fucking amazing. Of course.
We'll take it. None of those things are bad compliments.
I know. But you know, it's weird when... I wasn't expecting Anna to say this.
I know. I'm sorry. I should... Amy, you know you're the fucking sexiest. You're the best. There's nothing like a Trojan with Sim.
All right, let's end the show now.
Wait, you guys, you should be getting paid to advertise condoms, apparently.
I know.
Hello?
Yeah, we should.